Over the last several months, I've had the privilege and the opportunity to stand before you and preach some lessons. And hopefully, as you've been listening to these lessons, you've seen that there has been a theme. And that theme has to do with worldliness. We had a class in the auditorium back in the winter of 2013 about worldliness. And so we've been preaching topics related to that. And you say, well, why do we do that? Why did I select doing that? We had a class already back in 2013. Why bring that up again? Well, just like the Apostle Peter, when he wrote his letter, he talked to the brethren about the importance of reminding. And the other reason why we do it is Satan's not going to sit idle, and even though we've had a lesson back in 2013, and not continue to tempt us with worldly things. So we've had some lessons here. The first one we started out with, lesson number one, was that talking about that we are not of the world. And we used Jesus' prayer about his apostles in John chapter 17, where he says that we are of the world, but we are not to be of the world, not to engage in worldly practices and so forth. Then following that sermon, we had two sermons on 10 principles of right and wrong, using the scripture about principles to apply and be able to for us to use good judgment in decisions that we make from day to day. And so we had two sermons on that. And then the last sermon that I brought was a sermon on honesty. And so tonight what we're going to be talking about is materialism. And then, if God willing, in the future, we'll have a lesson on dress. And the last one will be on sensuality. Now, I thought these last three sermons, I thought that at this time of the year, that materialism would be a good subject to bring about to the congregation. So that's what we'll cover tonight. We know that during this time of the season that we call Christmas, that people celebrate Christmas. And we all know as Christians that there is not any religious significance according to God and Scripture about Christmas. We don't know when Christ was born, likely when born in December, especially on this particular date. We know probably born in the springtime. And as we turn to Scripture, what we find is, what are we supposed to remember? Well, we're supposed to remember what we just partake about a few minutes ago. We're to remember his death. He put that occasion on a weekly basis to do it, so we do that. But yet we have this holiday, Christmas season. And I'll be very frank with you, and I'm sure a lot of you, the members here, you celebrate Christmas, not from a religious standpoint, but from a standpoint of gift-giving. This time of the year is very festive. People giving gifts and giving gifts to your children and putting lights maybe in Christmas. Maybe you have a Christmas tree. Well, my family engages on that. They understand that there's no religious significance to that. But there's a danger, and that danger here is materialism. If we have this gift giving, we know, well, that takes money. And this is a time of the year we give likely many gifts to family members, to our children, to our spouses. And so we're in the danger of falling into materialism. Well, what do we mean by materialism? The definition here of materialism. Materialism is the view that makes acquiring and the preservation of material things that which consumes one's time, energy, and activities, crowding out other priorities. And for the Christian, it's crowding out God. Now, the desire of things in and by themselves is not necessarily evil. You may have particular hobbies. You may have, like, for example, woodworking. And you're just really into woodworking. You like to have all the tools. You subscribe to the magazines. You buy a lot of supplies. And you devote a lot of your time and energy and money for woodworking. Or a lady, you might engage sewing. You may like to sew, maybe quilting. You buy fabric, maybe you have the latest sewing machine. You read magazines. That's something you just enjoy. You spend a lot of time doing sewing. And you may desire to have more of these things and become more proficient in whatever your hobbies are. The desire of things in and of themselves is not necessarily wrong. It is wrong when it reaches a point where it crowds out God, where it becomes the sole thing in our lives, and God becomes a second choice. And this is something that the world faces, especially during this time of the year. You've heard that saying, people will, the so-called religious orientation says, let's put Christ back into Christmas. And what are they worried about? It's the commercialization, it's all the gift-giving, all these sales that go on and so forth. And so materialism can reach people, and it is a danger of the world. And so we, when we study about worldliness and materialism is part of worldliness, we use this scripture, and I've been presenting this over and over again in each of these sermons here, because instructions that Paul has given Titus as he's teaching the brethren. And it's in Titus 2:12. And what he does, he begins earlier, right around verse 10, as Paul tells Titus that God has brought salvation to all men. And then he tells us some things that we ought to do. And what we ought to do, as Titus instructs the brethren, he's instructing us to deny ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Ungodliness is an irreverent attitude toward God. It's an attitude that says that I don't care what God says, I'm not going to listen to His word, I'm not going to be appreciative of what He's done for me. It's an attitude inside. So a person who is like that has an ungodly attitude. But it goes on. Another negative, we are also to deny worldly desire. Another word for worldly desire is worldliness. What is worldliness? Worldliness is involving yourself either in actions, practices, thoughts of the world that are sinful. And so Titus, as Paul instructs them, we are to deny both these things. And then Paul reverses it. First we have two negative things, and then we have three positive things. So what are we supposed to do? We are to live sensibly. So anytime we talk about worldliness, it always involves judgment. We make decisions, and we're to make sensible decisions. That's what live sensibly means, is to making good decisions. Make good decisions that are, of course, according to God's word. And we are to live righteously. What is righteously? When you live righteously, you don't come under the condemnation of God. You don't go against His will. And so if you live right, you're doing what God wants you to do. And then the last thing we found is godly, which of course is just the opposite of ungodliness. So as we now look at materialism, why are we studying this? Hopefully it's obvious. But it's to open our eyes and to see the danger of materialism in our lives, especially during this time of the season. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at three main sets of scriptures, and there's an important lesson in each one of these. So if you have your Bible, let's turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. In this first set of scriptures, we can say that here is a warning, and we'll see that as we read it, that we are to beware of materialism. So we're going to read Luke chapter 12. We're going to go 15 through 21. So let's go through and read this. Of course, Jesus is talking to them. The setting, you can see in verse 13, Jesus is speaking. And Jesus now responds to their question. And let's just start in verse 15. And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to share my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" In this short discourse of Jesus that we just read, there's really three parts to this discourse. The first part is his statement that he made in verse 15. Then he gives a parable in verses 16 through 20. And then we'll note here that in verse 21 is actually his interpretation of that parable. So let's go back and look at verse 15 and note things that Jesus is introducing here about materialism. The first thing that he begins here, as he begins this, as we just read, he says, "Beware." So here tonight, as we just read this scripture, Jesus is telling us as Christians, beware. And if we ignore what he says here, we're doing exactly what he is telling us to note, is to beware. If we don't pay attention, it's like when we go up to a stop sign, big red stop sign. That's an alert. It says for us to stop. If we were just to drive through and don't pay any attention, that's a person that is not paying attention, not be wary. But Christ here is telling us to beware. But he goes on, he says, and there's another part to this. He says, and be on guard. Be on guard. I liken to this as if, let's say a man had a store. And he had a store in the part of Houston where there's a lot of robbery, a lot of store break-ins, but he happened to have a store. Now, if a man knew this, and maybe he experienced some fever in this, broke into his store, and he just went on, he did nothing about protecting the store, putting on iron bars or alarm system or putting cameras, that would be a person who's not on guard. If he knows about these things, he's alert to these things, he's going to take action. So note here, not only is Jesus saying us to beware, he is alerting to us, he's also telling us to be on guard. So as we get into this materialism and we talk about it, if we are alert to it, that's one thing, we're supposed to do that, but we are also to have a plan, be on guard for it. What are we doing to protect ourselves from this threat of materialism? So beware and be on guard. And then he goes on, he says, and this is the New American Standard, says every form of greed. New King James has covetousness. Other versions have about all covetousness. Note here that in the New American Standard, evidently there's more than one form of greed, right? Because it says avoid every form of greed. So as we look at this parable and look at the interpretation of the parable, Jesus is looking at a certain type of greed. For example, we know in the Bible sometimes greed is used of sensual desires. A person can be so greedy to fulfill his lust that he'll do anything sensually. A man could be of greed of wanting someone other's possessions that he will steal and thievery. That's another form of greed. Well, both those, of course, are not what Jesus is talking about. He's a certain form of greed that he is warning about it. And then he goes on about this statement here. He says, for not even when one has abundance does his life consist of possessions. So here what Jesus is saying here is that our life is more than material things. It's more than houses, a job, the clothes we wear. He says life is more than one's possessions. And we know, of course, that what is that? Well, it's our soul. There's the other part of man, our inner man, our soul, that we will give account for. And so as he gets into this discussion here, he's saying, beware, be on guard, every form of greed. And what this is here is, you can say this is materialism. And we'll see that as we go through the parable. Okay, so now let's go through and look at this parable as we read. Now one thing, when we read Scripture, God uses different things in writing to convey meaning. And so he is telling us that he is telling us a parable. And we know what a parable is, right? It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And an earthly story, there may be many, many parts. There may be many characters. There may be many things that are going on in the story. And it's an earthly story, meaning that it is very easy to understand. And as we read this thing, as you read it, just pretty straightforward. But a parable, its intent is to take an earthly story and to make a heavenly meaning, to make the point. And Jesus is using to make a point. And what that point is, we see is going to be in verse 21. So the key thing about using parables is when you take the earthly story, not everything in the earthly story has a heavenly meaning. He's taken that, and then there's usually a single a message coming out of a parable, maybe sometimes more. Now most parables, if it's a heavenly meaning, that says you have to interpret it. Some parables have the interpretation. This one has an interpretation, but many of the parables do not. So you have to interpret it. Here's the earthly story. Well, what is the parable teaching? So the first thing we want to note here about this parable here is definitely this parable is centered around two things. The first thing that it's centered around is the thing about possessions. You notice as you go through this thing, the emphasis is Jesus using the parable about possessions. He talks about crops and barns and grain and goods, talks about his treasure, food, clothing. So he is talking about things. And hopefully as I read this parable, and you're very familiar with it,
You see this man in this parable, how he is self-centered.
As I read it, in particular, you say, well, Rocky's kind of reads kind of funny. I made the point about how this man is looking at himself. You look at all the pronouns I, all the pronouns migraine, I will do, I will tear down, I will store, I will say, my own soul. This man is self-centered, and he's self-centered around his possessions. And so this is the issue here, and evidently you see it is his primary focus of life. And it's focused to such a point here that he has no time for God. And we saw that in verse 20. God talks to him about, your soul's required. And he didn't do anything spiritual. He was always concerned about his physical needs. So we have the parable. Now, what is the interpretation of this parable? And note here in verse 21, if you pay close attention to the parable, Jesus removes himself from the parable. He tells the parable, and then in verse 21, he says, so is. So Jesus now has finished the parable. It is finished at the end of verse 20. Now he's making the application, and this is Jesus' interpretation. And so what is the interpretation here? He says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is do not let materialism crowd God out of your life. And so here we find our first message that we find having to deal with materialism. We need to beware. We need to be on guard because it can threaten us. And we happen to live in a very rich society here in the United States. So blessed, so many things. You think about the homes you live in, the cars you drive, the jobs you have, the insurance you have, all these things. We are so, so blessed. For those who have traveled to other countries like Mexico or Nigeria or other countries, you will get a vast appreciation for how blessed we are. But that blessing, we can be so involved in our material things that it can crowd out God. And so Jesus has this warning. Beware of materialism. Okay, let's now look at a second lesson. We'll stay here in Luke chapter 12. And Jesus continues to talk about that. He's made the point, brought in the parable, made the statement here. Now he's going to build upon this point that he just made about materialism. And his point here is to seek first his kingdom. So we'll go back to Luke, and let's read 22 through 34, 22 through 34, and make some other points that he goes on. And he said to his disciples, he says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom, no barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep wearing. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So again, as we've read this text, again, we will note through these things, again, the focus is on material things. In particular, he's mentioned food and clothing, things to drink, you know, your treasures. And so again, he's continuing this point about our material things. And he makes same points that he made earlier in the parable, when in the statement, note in verse 23. Again, noting that we are not all a physical being. That thing of life is not just to eat, drink, and be merry. What verse 23? For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. And so this is a message that we as Christians are aware of. But we need to be reminded here that we have two parts to us. Our physical, but we have a soul. And that's his point here. Life is more than the physical, is more than food, more than clothing. Now he goes on after mentioning in verse 23 several things about worries. Now, isn't it interesting when we talk about physical things, things that people buy, things that people desire, and sometimes people, what will happen is people will then start worrying about these things, worrying about physical needs. And so we definitely have worry here, and it's connected to physical things. We read verses 24 through 26. Last part of verse 26, he's telling his disciples, why are you anxious about other matters? Talking about physical matters. Verse 25, and which of you being anxious can add a single cubit to lifespan? Now this is something that we know, right? We know that worrying is not good. We may tell our brethren, don't worry. Maybe they're undergoing some physical hardship. Don't worry. Pray to God. Put things in God's hands. And yes, we should be saying that. But on the other hand, are we worrying about things, especially of a physical nature? And as we read it, we know, worrying doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't add more things. It doesn't solve problems. If anything, it adds to problems. It creates health problems. It makes you anxious. It decreases the quality of life. So we say that, but sometimes when we experience these problems ourselves, we start worrying. We start getting anxious. And we need to work on that. We need to pray to God. We need to build our faith. Because the Lord's instructions here is do not worry about physical things. And you say, well, wow, does that mean that God's going to pay my mortgage payment? Maybe I got this really fine house and I'm struggling to make it, so don't need to worry about that. Again, what he's centering here on the basic essentials. He's talking about food and clothing and this thing. Sometimes we make decisions, get ourselves into trouble and can't make ends meet, and it creates problems. Maybe we should need to rethink those decisions or try to make some adjustments for that. So God, as he looks in verses 28 through 30, he will take care of our physical needs, the basic needs, food and clothing. And so as we looked here in this particular area, you know, what is the admonition here is to put God first. That's what we need to do. Again, that's easy to say. Now, many of you know that I'm an engineer by background. And one thing that engineers like to do is give me data. You're going to make a statement or you make a proposition or make a conclusion. You say you gather data and test to see if these things hold through. So I'm one that, you know, you make a proposition, well, we're to seek God first, right? We know that. I'm sure there's not anyone who would not say we'll seek God first. But let's collect some data here. Let's run some tests here and see, are we putting God first relative to materialism? So let's say that, okay, gift giving. You've enjoyed buying gifts for your family. Okay, now January comes around. Here comes the credit card statements. Maybe you got several of them. Now you start adding up the amounts. Oh, I got these amounts. Oops, I didn't intend to buy this many things, but I did buy them. And I add up the amounts. And I have so much money coming in. I got other bills to pay, the mortgage, utility. And oops, just not going to have enough to give as I normally give on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. So January, I got to cut back my giving. Brother, that is a test that says we may be having a problem with materialism. Well, we reached a point where we have to change our contributions and taking care of things that maybe we planned. This is our plan to give. And then suddenly during this time of the season, we just can't do it because we've acquired too many gifts. That is a test that's telling us, raising a red flag, well, maybe we got a problem with materialism. Now, if you happen to be in that situation, And I would say probably I myself, many years ago, probably ran across and failed that test. He said, well, okay, I failed. Now what do I do? Well, learn, right? Repent. Change. Got another Christmas is not going around. We're going to have another season, 2016. You're going to repeat the same thing you did this year? Plan. Make adjustments. Plan for the season. You want to give gifts? Nothing wrong with giving gifts. Only to the point that it starts affecting, you know, our service by putting Him first. So that's what this admonition is. Jesus is saying, seek first His kingdom. And so when we talk about materialism and look at the things that we have, and when it starts affecting, you know, our contributions here, maybe His kingdom really isn't first. And if that is the case, what do we do about it? As I just mentioned, we repent. We ask for God's forgiveness. We make some changes. We get things back in order the way they should be, so that when we put in our heart, we want to put Him first, that we are actually following through and actually doing that. Okay, let's look on the next set of scriptures. And it kind of ties into this first one. And it has to do with mental honesty related to materialism. So go with me to Matthew chapter 6. We want to read verses 19 through 24. 19 through 24. We know this is a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is spending some time talking about materialism. We already read earlier about materialism and Jesus' instruction. But here we have the Sermon on the Mount talking about materialism. And there's a certain aspect of a certain lesson that we want to gain from that. So let's read 19 through 24. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So it's clear here that Jesus, again, is talking about materialism. Also note how there's been some constant threads through these messages. Another thread we see here is about the heart. And where the heart is, that's where the treasure is. We just read that earlier in Luke chapter 12. So a lot of these things, when we talk about materialism, where does it all begin? It begins right in the heart. What is your priorities? What do you will to do? And that's where it all starts. And both here and in the previous one, we saw that. We know in verses 19 through 20, Brother Fontenot has made this point so many times, and it's second nature to us. When we read verse 19, it might be saying to you, says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure upon earth." Says, well, that's, I have a bank account, I have a savings account. I'm saving for my retirement. I'm saving money for my college education. I'm saving maybe for a new car. And this scripture is telling me, not do that. Do not lay up treasure upon earth. Again, 19 and 20 are together. It's a Hebrew idiom, not but. What appears in verse 19 may or may not be true, but the point is the emphasis is behind the but. What Jesus is saying, he's not saying do not have a bank account. He says more important than treasures upon the earth are what? Treasures in heaven, in verse 20. That's where his point is at. Now, this lesson here, as he read, again, it is talking about mental honesty. And here he's using the imagery about the eye. The eye represents something. The eye is something. What is the eye? Well, as we read here, the eye is more than talking about the physical eye. It is the eye is being used to represent the mental faculties which one has to separate out truth. It's the thing that guides our life. And you talked about here, or we read here about an eye that is clear, an eye that is bad. Well, what is that? Well, it has to do with mental honesty. A clear eye will be mentally honest about materialism. A bad eye will not be. So the question for us here to us is your eye clear or is your eye bad relative to materialism? Do you have a problem with materialism? You may say no, but maybe you do. Well, I'll submit to you, maybe you have a bad eye. Maybe you're not being completely honest with you. In a rich society like we are, and with the credit cards abounding, it's so easy to get in debt. It's so easy to get in a situation where, our credit card bills are, become outrageous. It's so easy to do. But again, we need to be honest. We need to be able to see what is happening here and to make some corrections. And so Jesus is telling us to have clear eyes. When we think about materialism, we need to be honest with ourselves. We cannot fool God. God knows. He knows our hearts. He knows our actions. He knows our lives. He knows all the decisions we make. We cannot fool Him. It makes no sense at all to have a bad eye. But God knows. We need to have clear eyes. And again, the purpose of these lessons here, this lesson tonight, is to open our eyes, to be aware of the dangers of materialism. And as Jesus closes this discussion on materialism, or nearly closes it, as we just read, you cannot serve two masters. Can't do it. It's impossible. And if you think you're serving both of them, don't be fooled. You can't do it. And if you're thinking that that God is first when He's really not, maybe you have another master. And so we need to be clear about this thing and be alert to the dangers. It can entrap. We may have good, honest hearts. We want to serve God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but we can get involved in materialism, and it can bring us down. And if so, we need to repent and change. The last part of our lesson for the remaining of the time here, we want to look at some dangers. What are the dangers of materialism? The first danger here is that it can rob us of present fulfillment. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And let's read verses 1 through 9. Now, we have a lot of blessings in this world, in our life. And let's just read this and note something here. As the writer here, Solomon, writes, he says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and is prevalent among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires. But God has not empowered him to eat from them, for a foreigner enjoys them. This is vanity and a severe affliction. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, however many they be, but his soul is not satisfied with good things, and he does not even have a proper burial, then I say, better the miscarriage than he. For if it comes in futility and goes in obscurity, and its name is covered in obscurity, it never sees the sun and never knows anything, it is better off than he. Even if the other man lives 1,000 years twice and does not enjoy good things, do not all go to one place?" What the message here is that where is all of our blessings coming from? It's coming from God. You know, we didn't create our minds. God did. God didn't, the skills and the abilities that we have, you find that God is the source of all these things. And so He's given us good things to enjoy, pleasures, riches, and wealth. But the message here in Ecclesiastes here is to enjoy them. And the thing that's so ironic about materialism, when a person gets so involved in materialism, he's just thinking about gaining more and more and more, and that's his whole life is devoted toward that. He's getting all these things to enjoy life, but he's not enjoying it. Why? Because he's striving after more and more. And as the writer here is saying, that is vanity, that is futility. It's better that he not have any of them. So it's ironic in the standpoint the person wants things, nothing wrong in that self, things to enjoy, but he doesn't enjoy them. Why? Because he wants more things. That is vanity. That is futility. And the message here that Solomon has here is to enjoy what you have. But materialism will rob it. You're so devoted to things, so worried about it, you're not enjoying the things that you do have. And so that is the first danger. We already talked about how materialism can blind us to spiritual priorities. We already studied that here in Luke chapter 12. Materialism can be very destructive to society. It can be subversive to a peaceful society. We won't go there, but you remember the story in 1 Kings 21 about Nadab and Abihu. About Ahab and Naboth. Okay? So we know Naboth had a vineyard. Ahab was the king. He looked at the vineyard. He wanted it. And so what did he do? You know, he told his wife. His wife said, well, just take it. And so what happened here? We had an innocent man murdered. And note that this was known about, you know, surrounding what this thing have. So materialism can be very subversive to a peaceful society. It can destroy society. It can ruin it. And so materialism, you're trying to enjoy things, but it can, in essence, it can unravel a peaceful society. It can be foolish futility to serve it. Again, our life is more than material things. We're a spiritual being, and more importantly, a spiritual being than a physical. And it can also bring spiritual death. Very familiar scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about many, many evils. Some of the evils there are talking about stealing, which would be connected to a person who has materialism, may steal things. And so being materialistic can bring a spiritual death. And then the last one here, as we've already kind of talked about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, is the danger is not having a proper view of the blessings. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote 1 Timothy, was instructing Timothy, he told that there would be rich people, people that have a lot of goods. And what does Paul instruct Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, is for those rich people to take those goods, use them to serve, take the blessings that you have and share them and help the needy and do other things like that. That is the proper view of having our blessings. So brethren here, hopefully this evening, hopefully it will do as we have set out to do, that it will open our eyes to see the danger of materialism. It is all around us and we need to be careful. So tonight what have we done? We've looked at what materialism is. We looked at a definition. We read the instructions of our master about bewaring, and again, beware and be on guard. Have a plan. If you have a problem with this, make a plan to get out of it. What are you doing to protect yourself from materialism? Think about that. And of course, this all ties into that we need to seek His kingdom, and then as we go about and look at this area of materialism, that we be honest with ourselves, that if we have the problem, then hopefully we repent, be honest with ourselves, and make the necessary correction. So, brethren, yes, we live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Yes, our neighbors, the friends we work with, maybe the people we go to school, may be very materialistic. Maybe that's all that they devote their lives around. But we are to be different. We are to live godly. We are to be righteous in this sinful world. So my prayer for you and for me is that we will not have a problem in the future with materialism, that we will safeguard ourselves and we will be the type of people that God is. Again, God has blessed us with so much. We have given so much materially. We got families. Enjoy them. It's God's blessing. There might be some here in our audience tonight, and also we talked about dangers. But so there might be some here in our audience who need to repent of the sin of materialism. I'm not aware of any here in the audience, but we always offer the invitation. There might be some who want to name Christ, confess who He is, to repent of their sins, and to be baptized. But whatever your need might be tonight, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.